that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this beautiful Saturday morning, June 27th, 2015. We welcome you here, and hey, if you hear this message, this talk that we do this morning any other time, well, we replay it a few times, so stay tuned. You never know where we're going to go on Coffee with the Wranglers. And we've got Jason here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And didn't know if John got on yet or not.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, all right. Good morning, John. Good morning to the Ramrod. Glad you can make it with us. And we welcome you, the remnant, as well. And Jason, if you'll open us up with prayers, we'll go from there.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this radio program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, direct us, that you just pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Father, we come with open hands and grateful to be here. Father, we ask for you to just be with the remnant across this land, Father, from sea to shining sea. We know that you know who they are and where they're at and which ones are yours, Father, and we just pray for them, Father. We come before you and we ask that you guide them and direct them, Father, that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that you pour it out upon your people, Father. We look to you as our Savior, our Deliverer, and we're grateful to be able to do so. We turn to you as our Deliverer and the Deliverer of Israel, Father, and we just are grateful to be able to do that. We call upon you to save us from the hands of our enemies,
yes,
those hands that raise up against us, Father, those that conspire against your people on so many fronts, Father, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy. We cry out to you, Father, save us. Save us, deliver us. Let our enemies be trampled down under. Father, we pray for them to be trampled under the feet of the saints. We pray for us to be able to see it, Father. We say, here's some feet, use ours, Father. We just call upon you to save us. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, the force that come against us. We come before We ask that you continue to open our eyes, that we can see what we need to see, Father, that we can see the unseen, that we can see the deceptions. We pray, Father, that you bring those down, those that dig a pit for your people. Let them be the ones that fall into it. Those that set that snare, let them be the ones that are entangled in it, Father. We pray that you let them be caught in their plots, Father, for your glory and for the salvation of your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. And again, we say good morning, and plenty going on out there. We'll have the phone lines opened up in here, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in, if you have a comment or a question maybe you'd like to make today. And well, John, give us your view of what's going on in the world today. What where would you like to start this morning?
Well, all week there's been a heaviness upon my spirit, and as of Friday, you know why. But I think it's also something that had to happen. It's time to rejoice as well, because this decision that the so-called Supreme Court has made is going to force these churches that are lukewarm, the churches of Laodicea, to choose ye this day who they shall serve, whether it be Baal or God. And if they pour themselves and perform these gay marriages, then they've chosen Baal.
Yes.
And if they don't, then they've chosen God. And God's no longer going to tolerate lukewarm. God's no longer going to tolerate the Church of Laodicea. And particularly last night, Ezekiel chapter 9 came to mind, and been reading that over and over, and probably texted out to quite a few people that don't really understand what's going on, that hey, you better read Ezekiel 9, and if you call yourself a Christian, you better be groaning and sighing and crying over the abominations that are taking place in the land.
Amen. Amen. Those are powerful verses. That Ezekiel 9, that vision of slaughter, and we hear so much about the mark of the beast, but we don't hear about the mark of Christ. And that very thing that you're talking about there, John, that is the mark of Christ that we are to have, the mark of the Christian, the work and the deeds, and part of that is that sighing and groaning out that Ezekiel 9 talks about.
Yeah, and the other thing that you can notice for sure right there, and it says, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple.
Yes.
And he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. But you might just go ahead and read that. My glasses are in my truck.
Sure.
I would just read all of 9.
We can sure do that.
Chapter 9 is pretty short.
Yeah, this is Ezekiel 9. It says, then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, and the he is capitalized, and that means God Almighty. Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, 6 men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand, and among them was a certain man clothed in linen with a writing case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. But to the others he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity, and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, "Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out." Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. As they were striking the people, and I alone was left, I fell on my face and cried out, saying, "Alas, Lord God, you are destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem." Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, 'The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see.' But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, but I will bring their conduct upon their heads." Then behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case, reported, saying, "I have done just as you have commanded me." Whew. If that doesn't remind you of the book of Revelation, I don't know what does.
Right. But so many of people who call themselves Christians have never read this chapter, never read even verse 4.
Yeah.
And Lord willing, they'll take it to heart. Because yesterday all you saw was the heathens, the tares, sticking their heads up higher and higher as they celebrate.
Absolutely. It's verse 9.
In Babylon.
It's verse 9. The land is filled with blood and the city is full of perversion.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court sided with that yesterday. You're right.
Well, I think perversion is a good word for it, because if you look about what they have done, they have taken, when God says, "I make," he makes marriage for a man and a woman, and then comes in here and says, "Okay, well, we can do better than God does," they've taken themselves and they put themselves in a position above God, first of all. And that's one thing, and that's one dangerous place to be, because if God says something, you don't add to it, you don't take away from it, you don't change it. That's the way it is.
Amen.
His law is perfect. And, they've come, so they perverted that, so I think it's a really good, I think it is a good word for them. They're perverts, because they perverted the way of God. They perverted what he instituted for marriage. And basically is what they're doing is they're sticking their middle finger up at God and flipping him off. And because God's way is perfect, and you start changing that, and that's something that people have got to be careful with in their personal lives. But here we've got a whole nation that is of national leaders that are doing this in a nation. And when a person does that in their life, they reap what they sow. God will judge them, and there will be a judgment coming, and they will pay for what they have done. And the same thing goes for a nation. When we as a nation hold this up as something, great, and it's something perverted, then we will be judged for it. And it's a dangerous place to be for a lot of these people. It shows you that I just think that I believe that they don't believe there is a God, or they believe that they're powerful or more powerful than God.
Amen.
Right. And you can look at it, and it's just it's like, wow. It does. And I encourage people to do that. Groan for this. I mean, it's like, when we see these abominations coming on a land and coming upon a people. And, you think about how things have changed in the last 10 years, in the last 5 years, and then in the last 4 years, and now you see things like this, and it's just, if you don't groan, better turn your TV off or something. I mean, something makes some kind of correction in your life, because so many people have just completely lost touch with reality, and they just, they're completely out of touch with the Word of God and what His will is, and they don't know what His will is, and they don't know the way things are supposed to be, and what a sad condition to be in.
Amen.
Yeah, the people just aren't taught. They aren't taught, and they don't want to know. You know, they have their preachers and their teachers that tickle their ears, that tell them lies, and the people love to have it so. It is nothing but lies that are put out there. You know, we've put out the Bible reading plan as a tool for the remnant to help them, to motivate them, to encourage them, to remind them, to remind all of us. It's a reminder to me. I'm looking at it right here in my Bible, to read the Word daily. And to, you know, you read a few chapters every day, and before you know it, the year's over, and you've got the Bible read. And just, you know, today's reading is Psalm 74 to 77, and right there at the end of Psalm 74, starting in verse 18, "Remember this, O Lord, that the enemy has reviled, and a foolish people has spurned your name." And boy, if that doesn't apply today, I don't know what does, because the enemy has done that very thing. They've reviled. They are full of perversions. They have reviled against the God of our fathers, and against His word, and against His law. It goes on and says, "Do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your afflicted forever. Consider the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the oppressed return dishonored. Let the afflicted and needy praise your name." And see, that's what activates God, is when He brings the affliction, and He causes us to become needy. But it's so that we will return to Him. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the prayers of our pastor answered. We're seeing the hearts of the sons and the daughters return to the fathers and to the parents, and the hearts of the parents return to the children. We're seeing that. And it finishes up the last two verses in Psalm 74, saying, "Arise, O God, and plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you all day long. Do not forget the voice of your adversaries, the uproar of those who rise against you, which ascends continually." And we see that uproar. We see that uproar in the Supreme Court. We see that uproar all across the land, and how this once Christian land is in an uproar now, getting rid of the Confederate flag and anything to do with the old Confederacy. The nation's in an uproar. It's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. But they're certainly in an uproar, rising against Him and against His people.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that you, one thing that we've got too is you look at who these homosexuals are. You look at who these dependents upon government entities are, you know, and we've got so many people that are dependent on a system that you know, will, that are doing nothing but voting people into positions of power to what is going to benefit them, what's going to benefit them financially, what's going to benefit them for their views. And, you know, that's what happens when you turn a nation away from God. I mean, you look at everything that's happened since 1968, when prayer, 64, when prayer was removed from the schools.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
exactly. God's been on attack for how long? And, you know, look at where the nation's come in result of it.
That was a very short 50 years ago that happened.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, it's constantly, and they've just constantly made you know, attacked, and it's basically, you know, you look at it and you can say that there's an underlying, even if they didn't call it a war against Christianity, you know, they might call it a war against terrorism, a war against drugs, a war against poverty. If the underlying all of these wars that we've had against all these diabolical things, supposedly, was basically a war against Christianity. Christianity, a war against our people. Our people have been yoked continually with different things.
Yes.
Being put upon them that, you know, have been burdensome, you know.
Yes.
And it's allowed the Antichrist to rise higher and higher. and our people have been brought down lower and lower. And one of the series of messages that I really liked made an impact on me were the ones that the pastor talked about, the teeter-totter transfer, you know, and how it's prophesied that there is a time when our enemies are brought down lower and lower and his people are brought up higher and higher. And, you know, a lot of people forget that, but it's prophesied and it will happen, and I believe it will happen. And, you know, we got to hunger and thirst for that and strive for that. And, you know, the thing that we got to remember is God doesn't need the masses to change the course of a nation. You know, he always uses a remnant and always uses a few. You look at the Gideon story, you know, 30,000, you know, knocked down to 300. That's a pretty big cut.
Yes.
And the reason that that was is because of the, you know, the basically the glory aspect of it. That, you know, if they would have beat the armies when they had 30,000, they would have said, oh, that was because we had a mighty army. You know, the Lord never works that way. He always works with a few, and the Lord only needs a few good men. And right. I think that that's something to remember also, because, you know, the Lord works when the odds are stacked against his people.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught in Dad's the message that he preached last Sunday, but the prayer that they removed from the school system back in 63 was, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen.
Yeah.
And how significant that is that was removed from the school system.
Yeah, and I had one person, I can't remember who it was, they wrote in and they had a good idea. They said, you know, this is the prayer that they worked so hard to remove from schools. You know, if it was so powerful that they had to have it removed, he said, I think we should pray it every day. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, in fact, that's I'm working on that right now. I think we need to do a prayer at noon kind of thing again, where we're God's people at noon, drop whatever we're doing and we just pray. And even if it's something short like this, I think it'll have a significant effect on the enemy.
Yes. You know, the Bible tells us if you knock, Jesus Christ himself said it, if you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. And if you ask, it'll be given to you. And so when you had the children of this nation asking in that prayer, well, God granted it. His word is true. When they're not asking, he's not granting. And our enemy understands that. You know, how many times our pastor taught on that and on so many different principles, that the judgments have to be brought before the throne room, right? They have to be presented before God. Oh, God, that's just what you read there, John. I think it ties in with that Ezekiel, that, hey, the people have to be sighing and groaning and saying, this is not right what's going on here. Oh, you know, and we have to be like David and crying out to him and sighing and groaning at this abominations and praying to God and asking him to come down and to remedy this. And when we ask, he will hear an answer. And when the children of this nation were praying and asking, we were blessed. And since then, since they're not asking, well, they're not. Well, guys, we have a phone call. Caller, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I tell you what, this nation has pretty much gone down the toilet. And the past 10 years, it seems like it's going further and further. You know, we all have children, John, Jason, Richard, young children. I got two, Colin and Shiloh. And having to explain to them the kind of filth that's going on when you go up to the Walmart or the gas station or something, at the age that we're having to explain to them, is just ridiculous. I don't remember, you know, I'm 34 years old almost. I don't remember when I was 10 years old having to be explained at the grocery store what two men holding hands or women or mixed couples and all that's going on now. And even worse, of what it is and what, you know, right from wrong as far as that aspect goes. it's just a sad situation. And I tell you what, it's like you said, if you don't groan for what's going on, then, I mean, you got something going on with you. I long for, like Jason said, I long for that teeter-totter transfer that's going on, or that I pray that comes on anyway.
Amen.
It almost don't.
It's increasing exponentially, you know, faster and faster, faster than it did in the past. You know, it's hitting every aspect of our lives. And you're right, you can't even go to the store without having this filth put in front of you. And if you don't see the people physically, then, you know, the magazines are there that put it in front of your face.
Yeah, it makes you think about what our children are going to have to explain to their little ones 15 or 20 years from now when they end up having their children and bringing them to the store or going out into the world. I don't even really want to think about it right now. I hope that things get a little bit better, but I know that they got to get worse before they get better. So, but anyway, I just wanted to call. You know, you guys have a good morning drinking coffee with you. Beautiful day over here in little Elkville, Illinois. The sun's shining, and it's supposed to get to be about 70-something, almost 80 degrees today. So it's a beautiful day out here.
Amen.
Hope Amen. Y'all have a good day, and I'll
gotta
be talking
remember,
to
George,
you.
That, gotta remember, George, God is exposing those terrors. They're becoming bold and brazen, so there will be no mistake on who it is that loves the Lord and who hates him.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much what he's finding out right now. I think that's probably the big reason for it. He's wanting to see who's on his side. He's searching the hearts of men and women now. I think that, I strongly believe that.
Amen.
Right. So, and there will be no more whores galore in America. You will no longer be able to be lukewarm. You will no longer be able to be a church of Laodicea. You will decide today who you shall serve, whether it's Baal or God.
That's right.
And if you serve God, you're going to be persecuted. And that's what I tell these Judeo-Christians. I said, let me tell you something. If you and your church are not being persecuted in today's day and age, then you're not doing enough.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true. They're out there holding up their bake sales and passing out John 3:16 to everybody that they can. So they're going to either have to stay on the sand, on the side of the sand that they are, or they're going to have to cross over and do God's will. So that's one of the things he's trying to do right now. I think he's finding out who's who,
yep.
Who's on his side and who's not.
How precious is that 501c3 tax-exempt status to your church? Are you willing to whore yourself for it? I say most of them will.
Well, most of them have, and most of them will continue to.
Just by accepting the 501c3, giving the state the head of the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this may be what it takes to wake the people up, you know? If they can't see that this was nothing but a federal overrun over the last, basically just the last couple of years. Bring federal judges in, overturn the will of the people, state by state. All of a sudden you have majority of states that approve of it. So what happens? Goes to the not-so-Supreme Court, which is a bunch of heathens anyways. Not one of them's a Protestant anymore. And what are they going to do? Obviously they're going to vote for their own. We got a couple queers on the stinking Supreme Court, duh.
Yeah. You would think that legalized abortions and all that would wake people up a little bit too, but it seems like people are going to have to get hit in the head a little bit to realize, you know, I think more and more that these things are going to have to start affecting the people themselves in their own home before they realize what's going on. Whichever aspect of the filth that's going on in this nation it is, until things start hitting the people themselves, you know, even in the little towns, You know, people are just holding a blind eye to everything. I don't know. It's hard talking to people anymore because people don't even want to hear about it.
Well, then all you can do is tell them the truth, warn them, just like Ezekiel 3:17 through 19 says, if you see someone living wickedly, warn them to turn from their wicked ways. And if they don't turn, then their blood's on them. So.
That's right. All right, man, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, George.
Yep, bye.
Right. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913.
Yeah, you can see the attack is on God's people from every direction. There's two articles this week, I don't know if you saw them, but the Census Bureau just released its annual estimate of the U.S. population broken out by race, sex, and age. One of the most intriguing results they reported on was that in 2014, for the first year in U.S. history in which the majority of children under the age 5 were identified as something or as some race, racial and ethnic group other than non-Hispanic white. So that means that
this
all
generation
of the children in this country under the age 5, the minority
are a minority.
Is white.
The white is the minority now. Yes. Yeah, the minority is now the majority. Praise God. His word is true. It proves his word. You know, oh, that the people would awaken to this, would awaken and see.
And another one was, more white people died in the United States last year than were born. So the decline of the white Anglo-Saxon, the decline of the white Anglo-Saxon.
That's how it is.
Is begun.
Yes, yes. And it's and we're seeing it numbers-wise. Let's take another caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
This is Brother Barry in Indiana. Well, I'm glad to hear you folks commenting on this. This was quite an interesting month and actual summer. Excuse me. And I think it was interesting that with the decision of the Associated Press, the quote that Barack Obama... It says, in praise of this decision, President Barack Obama called it justice that arrives like a thunderbolt.
Wow.
But
that's interesting.
I didn't see that.
Isn't that amazing? And it really kind of ponders, wonder what the ultimate decisions, and they figure the decision has been made for their cause. But that is not going to rest well with the Creator and God, and that is not going to go. That's not going to pan out very long. But I think the interesting thing is, and we've watched it. A variety of different media people have watched it. That these gay agendas and such, and the press, and you'll find that public television and such will. Oh, that this is terrible. They're doing this protest. And you'll find maybe 10 or 11, 12 people. Really tight camera angle shots. Oh, that's just terrible. It's just a handful of people. Not even a 5% of the population. So this thing has just been taken over. Partly with the kind of like the soft communist takeover, but it's also a religious attack against the churches and forcing them. Ultimately, these young lawyers and such will be, with government funds, will be used to force churches and other organizations to accept them and accept, quote, minority numbers or a hiring scheme. So it's just a devilish plot against the country and against the families, but also against the innocent souls of children. Yeah.
They'll be part of affirmative action next.
Oh, absolutely will. Absolutely will.
You'll have to hire. Yeah.
Anyway, just my comments, my two cents. Thank you so much, and it was a great, great happening at Branson. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you, Barry. And you know, things that you mentioned, Barry, it reminds me, it brings to thought the Egyptian captivity that our people were in. You know, when our people went down to Egypt, everything was fine until the Assyrian rose up. in the government of Egypt, and it took you know a few generations for that to happen, for our people to be blessed in Egypt, and then before you knew it, they were slaves, and the pastor taught on that it was the Assyrian in there that rose up, and that brought all that against them, and we're seeing that very thing once again in our land. And it wasn't a majority of the people, like you mentioned. It was just that small minority. But God uses that as the rod of his anger against his people because of our sin.
Well, think about this.
Amen.
Based on what Barry said, this decision, was it Satan falling from heaven like lightning when Obamanation says something like that?
Could be. Barry, thanks for the call. We'll try to get these other callers on.
Thank you.
God bless, brother.
Absolutely. Take care.
And we do have a couple callers. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey. How you doing?
Good morning, Anthony.
So, I am groaning over here, that's for sure. This has been a dark, dark week for our nation. And it's unbelievable that, you know, a few things that we all pointed out already was the fact that this decision will separate the churches, like you said, the lukewarm churches or the churches of Laodicea, you know, whether or not they're gonna bow to Baal, and we can see them for what they truly are. You know, the children, like I said, what the other caller said, it's the children that are being affected, and how they are being exposed and coerced and influenced by this, you know, young, impressionable, developing minds. But all down the road, like, okay, what is it for me as a Christian? You know, years ago, I came to the realization, you know, we talked about sexual perversion. Well, as a Christian, we have to look at ourselves. I look at myself and taking my thoughts captive. In, you know, if you look at another man's wife, and years ago I came to the realization that that's a sin. You know, God says that you sin in your heart, you commit adultery in your heart. So that's a perversion too. It's almost like the same type of thing. So in our spirit, in our walk, that we are walking the straight line all the time, you know, that we are, you know, like what you said before, Jason, I think said, or Richard, you said that, you know, we there's no room for error nowadays, you know, for our walk, you know, our straight and narrow path needs to be just that, a straight and narrow path in everything that we do, so we are not hypocrites, because that's hypocrites don't go to heaven either, you know, sodomites for sure, you know, and says hypocrites, you know, and liars, so yes. We can't be a liar, our walk's got to be solid, you know, every single day, all that we do. And that's one thing that we can internalize that. We can't control what happened here. It's unbelievable what happened. And, it has to happen. God said, you know, Satan will be given power to make war with the saints. And, yeah, it's an attack on our minds, an attack on our hearts, an attack on our spirit, an attack on our nation. And it's amazing how this is so real. The word is so real. And we got to just keep our focus, you know, keep our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on Christ. And be obedient in all that we do, and pray and give glory to God.
That's part
to this
of that.
Day, to the our dying day. So,
amen.
That's part
amen
of our
to
complete
that,
obedience.
And, have a great day, and you know, God bless us all, and pray for those who are called by His name. That, you know, we're not they're protected by this evil, you know, and called out, and their eyes are open to this. So,
Anthony, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments, brother. Mm-hmm. Have a blessed week.
You too.
All right. And we have one other caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Thank you, guys. This is Kenneth from Louisiana. I just want to say this. I'm getting an echo.
We're hearing you here. Sounds pretty good.
Okay, fair enough. I want to say this. Some of you callers probably live in San Francisco, because when I go to the grocery store or gas station, what fires me up is when I see a white interracial slut with a black pimp with all the drugs. That's what I see. And consider this, people. What caused God's wrath in Noah's day? Was it homosexuality or the mixing of the white Adamic seed by fallen beings? Think about it. Psalms 34, verses 15, 16, and 17. Can I read it?
Sure.
Sure.
The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against the evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Kenneth. Excellent scriptures. You know, I think both those callers, I think the along the same lines, you know, that next verse that Kenneth was reading, Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. You know, when you're sighing and groaning out, when we see these abominations, we should be crushed in the spirit. We should be. It should be causing us to be this way when we see this. When we see the abominations in the land, it should be as the time of lamentations and a time of lamenting and of crying out to God. The next verse here in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we are seeing the righteous afflicted now. But it says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, hallelujah. And those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none, not some, not a few, none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Yeah, I think when you read Genesis and the time of Noah and why God destroyed the earth, it was man's thought was continually evil. Well, are we to that point? Not quite, but we're definitely heading down that road. Here's another interesting point. Actually, Ted, our engineer from Shortwave Station, sent this to me, and it's pretty profound, I think. Sodom and Gomorrah, out of the population of 4,000, God was willing to spare the cities if Lot could find 10 righteous men. Using the same ratio, that means in the USA we need about 750,000 total righteous men. Is there that many in the USA? I don't know.
I don't know. And, you know, even as that destruction was going on, you know, Abraham was there praying, you know, bargaining with God to spare and praying for those.
Right.
That they would repent. And I think, you know, that God was willing to, you know, dicker, bargain, talk, have a conversation with Abraham about it. Because God says in his own word that he doesn't even want the wicked to die, but for them to repent. But he knew those were beyond repentance. Those that he destroyed were beyond repentance. And it's a warning for everyone today. Do not get beyond repentance. And that lifestyle, you know, that's what's in our face. That lifestyle takes people many times beyond repentance.
So are we to be like Jonah now, warning Nineveh?
I think we have been, John. I think we have been. You know,
right.
When we read these scriptures out.
So, we need to be more bold and brazen than we've ever been. And things that we may have considered not sharing with people before, now's the time to share it, no matter what the consequences,
yep.
Is what I see. And that's what I've been doing. You know what I really appreciate? A young man, Kevin, you guys know him. He helped us do a bunch of trimming out on the house there in Laramie. And he's a good man. He doesn't quite understand where he is with his walk, but I texted him yesterday about the Supreme Court's decision going to force the churches of Laodicea to not to be lukewarm and to choose ye this day who they shall serve, and that the house or the judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And he called me right after he got that text, and he said, explain it to me. So I spent an hour, and I started explaining it to him. And he said, okay, now that makes sense. And I told him, I said, well, I really do appreciate you calling, you know, and asking about this and not just blowing it off. And I said, your time's running short, brother. I know that you're called,
you just have to heed that call. And it was powerful.
So. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But just that one text could change this man's life, you know?
Yeah. You know, back in the book of Ezra that we've read through in our Bible reading plan, hopefully you, those out there listening have, in Ezra 10, the subheading is Reconciliation with God. And if you look at verse chapter 9, the one before it is Prayer of Confession, and because that comes first. And that with that confession of sin, with the realizing that what's been going on is sin, and then that prayer of confession, then comes reconciliation. But the people come to Ezra. You know, Ezra chapter 10 says, while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of God, a large assembly came to him, and the people wept bitterly. And down in verse 4, you know, they confess their sins to him. And in verse 3, they say, so now let us make a covenant with our God to put away our wives and their children according to the counsel and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. And then they say to Ezra, arise, for this matter is your responsibility, but we will be with you. Be courageous and act. And John, I think that's what you're getting at now. We have to, it's our responsibility to read this law, to present this to the people that are in our spheres, in our circles, to present it out, and because it is our responsibility, and we have to be courageous and act. Now's the time.
Yeah, I tell you what, with the way things are going too, people are a lot more susceptible to listening to you today than they were even 2 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I found to be true too.
Yes.
People are hungering and thirsting for the truth.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have another caller.
Yeah, and another thing that, you know, we got so many things going on right now, but, you know, we've had things happening with our food, but this, you know, what's happened over here in Charleston with the shooting, you know, there's so much evidence on that, there's a lot of people that are just believing everything that they put on the news as far as that's concerned, and the thing is that's not what actually took place. You know, that was another false flag event. Obama and his administration immediately afterwards says they jump on the bandwagon. Well, we need to have more gun control. We need to have a gun control act like Australia got, and they started pushing that immediately before even any of the facts were put out on that shooting. And you know, that's a plot to get people to take away their guns. And
yeah, if you saw the next morning, the UN called for the Congress to pass a law to call for the forcible disarmament of the American people. And I say good luck with that.
Yeah,
just like they did in Australia. You know, in Australia they did that. They passed it. People were promised their freedom. And was that in 96, after that mass shooting that they had over there, the Prime Minister of Australia, he mandates it, signs it into law, and basically everybody that had guns was forced to put them in or go to jail. And I mean, it was very strict, and it was one of the biggest gun control acts that ever took place in you know, in our lifetime. And you know, everybody was promised, they were promised and promised and promised, oh, they were promised safety, they were promised to be protected, this was for their safety. And they took these guns, and you should see the videos of it, because they took beautiful gun collections, and there were people that were gun collectors from generations and generations over there. And they turned them in, they chopped them up into pieces, and melted them down. And, yeah. You know, the thing is if you look at what those people are telling people, there's people from Australia that have dedicated their life after seeing what happened to their country to telling people in America, don't give up your guns at no cost, don't give up your guns. You know, their armed robbery went up 69% since they took away the guns. Their assaults went up 28%. Their murders went up 19%. Their home invasions went up 20%. And that was in a 10-year time period. You know, everything went up drastically. And there's people that, you know, that had guns that were all of a sudden, the criminals knew they were unarmed and just would go in, kick the door in, and it's very common over there nowadays for people to have their doors kicked in, for the home invasions to come in and people, the robberies to take place, and they just grab whatever they want and they leave because they know that the person is not armed.
And yeah, you ought to write an article on that, Jason, on the history of that.
Yeah, actually, I've been working on it, and hopefully I'll have some more for it for church when I do a church intro here in a week or two. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we know what they're doing with our food. We know what they want to do with our vaccinations, and they want a mandated vaccination program in this country.
Yes.
They've been pushing for that for years.
Yes, they have.
And I believe, it's my belief, that the reason that they haven't got it is because people are armed, and they know that they can't push that envelope right now, why they have armed people. And I think that it's all tied together with population control, gun control, but they want to get people disarmed first. So that's why they create these false flag events like this shooting, and that's what it is. I mean, and if anybody wants to challenge that, go look at the research. There's pages and pages and pages, and there's so many different aspects that you can look at. But basically, it was a created event, and that's what the outcome was. So
twofold,
anyway,
too.
I know we're running out of time, but
designed to start to cause race riots as well as gun control.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what you never hear is all of these psychotics that are doing the shooting, every one of them is on a prescription depression drug. Every one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, you can look at them, they look like an MK Ultra, test subject. Or, you know, and I looked at this last kid that was supposedly did this shooting, and, you know, it's either... There's a couple different things that could play into it. I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but, you know, it's drugs, it's mind control, or the one aspect that nobody wants to talk about because, you know, it was not scientific or whatever, but it's demon possession.
Absolutely.
I mean, very possible. You look at that kid, and it's very possible that he was just completely demon possessed by a demon.
Yes. He had the exact same look on his face, the same... blank expression as the killer down here with the theater shooting in Colorado that they're in court right now with. The exact same, you know, it's a familiar spirit. You can see it. The people just want to see if Budweiser's on sale this weekend. That's what they're interested in. We are running out of time. Got a few minutes left. We've got, I think, time for this last caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. This is Paul in Chicago. How you all doing?
Good morning, Paul. Doing great.
Great. Hey, I want to make a quick comment here to keep in mind. Most of us know, but not everyone does, that'll listen to this. But that not Supreme Court that came down with that ruling is all Jews and Catholics on that court.
Yep.
So,
yeah, good point.
Good point.
It's none of our people. And when you, the hierarchy of those people are working in concert with the social justice, gun control, Obamacare, this abomination, all these things. So I just wanted to point that out this morning to you.
Very good point. You know, and again,
six Catholics and three Jews.
Yep, and that brings to mind that
not one Protestant.
That in that time of our Egyptian captivity, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the Assyrian that oppressed our people then, and it's along the same lines now. It's these people that are a minority that you know, in the days of Egypt, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And you know, that's where we are today. There has arisen a ruling class, this government that we have, that does not know Joseph, that does not know Joseph's God, and wants nothing to do with him. And their end will be as those in Egypt. And it'll be in the bottom of the sea. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Paul, have a blessed weekend, brother.
You guys also. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Ephesians 6:19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what we ought to be praying for, each and every one of the remnant.
Amen. 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 Well, guys, we're about out of time. We do want to invite you to come to church tomorrow. Got a little talk tomorrow morning about the 4th of July. That's coming up before church next week. So we wanted to address that tomorrow and give you, present a little history lesson to you. And so we encourage you to join us for church Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we don't think you'll be disappointed. Shannon I is back from his travels after Branson. Had a great praise report that his mother's doing better down in Florida, and he's back with some music. And so we do encourage you to join us for fellowship, for praise, for a short history lesson of this nation that was formed in a day. We'll give you the scripture verses that point that out if you join us tomorrow morning. We'll have a communion message and, of course, a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. So we encourage you to do that. Join us for church Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, men, thanks for joining us. And we thank you, the remnant, for joining us. Remember that these broadcasts are archived. We have two websites, the one we just mentioned, scripturesforamerica.org. We also have what we call the network website, and that is sfawbn.com. And that's Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, sfawbn.com. And these programs are archived there, and our complete broadcasting schedule can be found there as well. If you're listening on the shortwave and you want to write to us, we do appreciate the reception reports. They help us quite a bit to let us know where the message is going and how it's being received. And our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Well, man, thanks a lot. Have a blessed Saturday, and we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.